And the story that we're looking at tonight, as I've already indicated, touches on a topic which is very close to some of us. In fact, I would say that probably all of us have touched on this issue. And if you haven't, you will. It's just guaranteed that you're going to have to face this. And it's an issue that for some of you will be very close to home. And if not, it will become close to home at some stage in your life. And the story that we are looking at tonight deals with the matter of forgiveness of others. And so what we're going to do is we're going to read what Jesus has to say on this, and then we're going to talk about it. And so we're going to read Jesus' story that he tells from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through to 35. At the beginning, it gives us something of the background as to why he tells this story, and then it gets into the story itself. And so let's read that together. I'll just read from the board here. It says, "Then Peter came to him and said, 'Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him?' 'Up to seven times.' Jesus said to him, 'I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had began to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, "Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all." Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid his hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses." We're going to pray and then we'll think about that apart from God's word. I'll say that after the talk, there will be opportunity for questions. So if as we're going along, you think of something, if you've got a scrap of paper, write it down. Or if you've got a phone, just type it into your phone or make a mental note. But there will be opportunity for questions after the talk. And so let's pray together. Dear God, your word is not an ordinary book. It's different, and we need your help. So please help us to understand it now. Give us understanding through your help, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as I say, the topic for tonight is the topic of forgiveness. What we're trying to answer is the question, how can I forgive? How can I forgive? How can I forgive someone who's hurt me in some way or another? Now, I do think it's helpful to say from the outset that this is actually a really, really big issue. This is a widespread problem. It really is. Every one of us has to face this, and many will have to face significant incidents where you have to face this. It's a widespread problem. And it's a destructive problem. where we fail to deal with this problem, it really does destroy us. Okay, it doesn't just destroy relationships with others, it does that too, but what it does is it also destroys us. Ken Sand, in his excellent book, The Peacemaker, talks about the problem of unforgiveness. He says that unforgiveness takes its shape in our lives in so many different ways. You know, sometimes we just keep on thinking about what the other did. We think about it and we think about it and we think about it. Or other times we're just cold and kind of aloof, distant from the other person. Or other times we actually try to hurt them, maybe physically, maybe emotionally in some way or another. Other times what we do is we gossip about them. That's our way of revenge. That's our way of unforgiveness. Or maybe we lash back with our tongue or some other way. But they're all different ways that we practice unforgiveness towards someone. And then Ken Sand goes on and he says that these things might give you some kind of perverse pleasure for a moment, but in the long run, unforgiveness will actually cost you enormously. As someone has said, unforgiveness is the poison we drink hoping others will die. I think that's just such a helpful way of putting it. Unforgiveness is the poison we drink hoping others will die. It destroys us. And so how do we go about forgiveness? How do we forgive? I wanted to say to begin with that if you have suffered some kind of just some kind of huge injustice in your life, there will probably be lots of issues to work through. There's going to be a lot to work through. And so although this talk tonight is really important for you, and it is, can I say that if you've gone through something really, really massive in your life, can I encourage you to talk with someone who can help you from the Bible? Do get help, because there is going to be a fair bit to work through, and you know, you're just not going to be able to work through it all in one 20-minute talk. But having said that, let me say that as far as dealing with this problem of unforgiveness, I just think that of all places, this story of Jesus right here, it is the place to go. It really is. And so we're in such a great place to go in terms of thinking about this. And so what did Jesus have to say about this? Well, firstly, in verses 21 and 22 of the section, we see that Jesus actually has great expectations when it comes to this matter of forgiveness. Okay, in the previous part of the chapter, we didn't read it, but in the previous part of the chapter, Jesus has been talking about being ready to confront someone if they've sinned against you. And so then in verse 21, Peter says, okay then, and he's thinking it through, okay, let's imagine that I've confronted someone and they're sorry and I've forgiven them. They were sorry, I've forgiven them. But what if it keeps on happening? Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? What if it keeps on happening, he says. Now, Peter here, you've got to understand, Peter's trying to have a generous spirit. He really is. The religious leaders of the day, for example, they had a rule. They had a rule that you forgive someone no more than three times. That's it. Three times and you're out. That's it. And so Peter, he's actually trying to be generous. He says up to seven times. And so I don't think that that Peter actually expects what Jesus is about to say in verse 22, because Jesus then responds and he says, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Okay, what a shock this has to have been for Peter. What Jesus is doing here is he's blowing the old categories totally out of the water. Okay, the point is not, okay, 70 times 7, 490 wrongs, and I start counting now. That's not the point. He's not saying, you know, let's just get up to 490, then we're gone. No, the point is that Jesus isn't in the business of counting. The point is that Jesus does away with this old counting mentality when it comes to forgiveness. He does away with all of that and he says, you forgive freely. That's the point. Forgive freely. I do realise, by the way, that if somebody literally did come to you seven times with exactly the same sin, that at some point you might respond to him, okay, you haven't changed these six times. How can I actually know that you're sorry? There's going to be some things that you're going to try to work through there. I'm not saying that it's wrong to have those kinds of conversations. But the point is that if you convince the person that they are sorry, the point is that you ask to forgive them, even if it's happened seven times before. And the big point that Jesus is making here, it's really quite simple. What Jesus is saying is that he expects us to be ready to forgive. And he's saying that God expects us to be unlimited in our forgiveness. Okay, a person may have sinned against you in a repeated way, or they've sinned against you in a particularly significant way, but where they sincerely approach you, turning away from their sin, genuinely seeking forgiveness, Jesus is saying, you're to forgive. We're to be ready to be unlimited in our forgiveness. Jesus has just such high expectations when it comes to forgiveness. Now, Jesus knows how shocking and how hard this is. And so in the following verses, he tells us a story to help us get a handle on this, because this is just so surprising. The story in verse 23 begins with a king and his servant. Verse 23, we read there. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. Now, okay, what you've got there is a king with lots of servants, and one of these servants has a debt. This servant has a debt, 10,000 talents. Now, okay, let's get a handle on this, 10,000 talents. So a talent, it was a measurement of weight, okay, like a kilo, something like that. But it was also a measurement of money. So you might actually offer somebody else, I'll give you one talent for your brand new sports chariot or something like this, okay? You offer them a talent of gold for whatever it is. And it's a measurement of both weight and it's a measurement of money, one talent of gold or silver. Now, just to give you something of an idea of what we're talking about here, a talent is the same as about just over 30 kilos, all right? Today, a kilogram of gold is worth over $50,000, right? And he's probably talking about 10,000 talents of gold here. A kilogram of gold is worth just over $50,000. So today, one talent of gold, which, as I say, is probably what he's talking about here, it would be worth, doing the math, about $1.5 million, right? So then you multiply that out by 10,000. I'm sorry to be doing maths on a Sunday night. But you kind of multiply it out by, just trust me, I've used the calculator. You multiply this out by 10,000, and in today's terms, what we're talking about is 10,000 talents, about $15 billion, right? $15 billion. Okay, so the point here is obvious. The point is that this servant, he actually owes a staggering debt. The point is that he owes a debt which realistically just cannot pay. Impossible. Okay, I mean, he pleads with his master in verse 26, have pity on me and I will pay you all. But we know he's kidding himself. It's a staggering debt. It's an overwhelming debt. Can't possibly pay it back. And what Jesus is doing here as he begins this story is he's painting a picture of what you and I are actually like before God. Okay, the king in this story is a picture of God. And the servant, that first servant, is a picture of what you and I are like. And what Jesus is saying is that you and I owe to God a staggering debt because of our sin. It's an overwhelming debt. It's a debt that we can't possibly pay. Okay, our sin might not seem great to us, but Jesus says actually it is. Do you know the Bible teaches that God hears every word you say. He sees everything you do. And he knows your every thought. Okay, everything. You know, I wonder how many of us would be happy if every word, every deed, every thought was broadcast to anyone in the world. I would not be happy with that, and I'm sure that you wouldn't be either. But God knows it all. And it adds up to a lot of wrongs, doesn't it? Okay, you know, if we were to sin just once a day, and I can tell you for me it would be much more than that. But if we were to sin just once a day, sorry to do maths again, but an average lifespan, 81.75 years in Australia, then we would sin against God almost 30,000 times in our life. And as I say, I think that's far, 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 far less than the truth. Far less. Our sins just stack up, don't they? They really do. Also, I want you to think about who God is, and I think this is really important. Okay, when you think about the huge dignity of the person that we sin against, you realise that every single one of those sins is actually a big deal. Okay, to sin against God is actually a much bigger deal than to sin against your neighbour. Let me explain it to you this way. If I go up to a friend's place and my three-year-old, I've got a little three-year-old, and he flicks food on the wall, all right? Flicks food on the wall and he ruins a picture on my friend's place. Well, you know, I might have to give my friend $100. I might have a debt of $100 because my three-year-old flicked food on the wall. But if that picture happened to be an original painting from a really, really famous painter a couple of hundred years ago, my friend happens to collect Vincent van Gogh paintings, right? Then you're up for a lot more than just a couple of $100, aren't you? All right? Same food. Same thing that you did, but depending on the quality of what it hits, it could cost me a lot more, couldn't it? And it's the same with sin. Okay, to sin against a friend, that's one thing. But to sin against God, that's really serious. And you know, that's why Jesus paints this picture in such enormous terms. That's why we have such a huge debt, because the Bible teaches that every time we sin, no matter who it's against, every time we sin, we don't just sin against that person, but we're also at the same time sinning against God. And sinning against God, in doing that, we're sinning against somebody who's a million times greater than the greatest king. He's got infinite dignity. And so to sin against someone like that is to bring on yourself an infinite cost. It's a cost we can't pay, that's the point. And that's the situation that we're in. This is the servant's debt. So then we come to the king's response. And in verse 26, we're told that the servant pleads with the king for mercy. And so the king, in verse 27, he grants it. And it says there, verse 27, then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. Okay, the king's response is compassion. His response is readiness to forgive. Now, I mean, this is remarkable, isn't it? It's amazing. This is not just your everyday garden variety forgiveness. This is $15 billion forgiveness. And this, of course, is what the Lord does For everyone who trusts in him through Jesus Christ, through Jesus' death on the cross, paying the price for sinners, what the Lord does is he bends down to the sinner and he says, that $15 billion debt that you owe me, okay, not just 15,000 or 150,000, $15 billion debt, I'm cancelling it. You're forgiven. You don't need to pay it off over an eternity. It's not a cent, you're forgiven. And that is what God does for us in Jesus Christ. It's rich forgiveness. And what an amazing forgiveness that is. That is the king and his servant. And then we come to the servant and his workmate in verses 28 through to 33. And of course, the section here is given to us to help us start comparing, to start making some comparisons. Okay, because in verse 28, what we discover about this workmate is that the workmate also has a debt. He owes the first servant, the $15 billion guy, a reasonable amount. We're told in verse 28 that the workmate owes the original servant 100 denarii. Now, okay, 100 denarii, we should understand in one sense, isn't actually a small amount of money, okay? A day's wage in those days was 1 denarii, okay? That was a day's wage. Now, Australia today, average daily wage, it's about $200, okay? So, do the maths. In Australian terms today, this is about a debt, 100 denarii, it's about a debt of $20,000, okay? So, you've got to understand, this isn't nothing. It's not that it's 10 bucks. It's not nothing. I think if you were owed $20,000, you wouldn't think of it as nothing. In human terms, if you like, this is actually a pretty big offence. I think that most of us here would be pretty offended if somebody didn't actually make an effort to pay us back $20,000 that they owed us. The workmate has a debt and he can't pay. And so what's this first servant going to do? The servant who has been forgiven $15 billion. What will this servant do when now he's owed $20,000? Well, we read verse 28. It says there, but that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. What this servant does is he demands payment of the debt. He holds it against his workmate. And though his workmate, he pleads for mercy, he's not going to forgive. Now, I want to make something clear here, okay? The point is not that the workmate had done nothing wrong. He had done something wrong, $20,000 not to be sneezed at. But the point that's being made here is that when you compare it to $15 billion, you'd think that he could let it go. You'd think that when you compare it to $15 billion, he could spare a little bit of compassion. And that's why the king responds in the way that he does. We see in Jesus' story that the fellow servants go and tell the master, and then we read his response in verse 32. It says there, verse 32, then his master, after he'd called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? Okay, you see the point, don't we? Okay, I agree completely. $20,000 in one sense, big deal. But when it's against $15 billion, it's not a big deal. It's a small amount. When God's ready to forgive us a debt that big, can we not be ready to forgive the $20,000 incidents in our lives? The king's response is, should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? This is the king's response. The king's response is to call on his servants in the same way to be ready to forgive others. Now, I want to be really plain in saying that's not an easy thing to do. Nobody said this was easy. Forgiving others is painful. Just like forgiveness for God was painful. Okay, it came at an enormous cost. It's a hard thing to forgive. But it's what God has called us to. Now let me say at this point that I realise that this issue is a lot more complicated if the offender hasn't actually apologised. Okay? If the offender hasn't actually apologised, then there's a lot more to work through here, and I don't really have time to tackle that issue right now. If that's an issue for you, come and talk with me about it afterwards or whatever you like. I'd be glad to talk that through with you. But for tonight, what I want to make clear is that where someone comes to you and they're sincerely asking you for forgiveness, the Lord's call on you is to forgive that person. And so I want to finish up by just looking at the question, what does all of this mean for me? What does this mean for me? And obviously what this means for you is that you need to respond to God's call to show forgiveness to those who offend you. And I want to give you at this point a word of warning. I need to give you this warning because it's there in the passage. And the warning is that unwillingness to forgive is actually a sign of not being a Christian. Unwillingness to forgive is actually a sign of not being a Christian. Now, I say that cautiously because I know that sometimes even Christians really do have to spend a long time working through issues of forgiveness. And if the offence is great, that can sometimes be a really big process. But at the same time, I just want to take seriously what Jesus says at the end of our story in Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, verse 34, Jesus describes how the master reacted to the unforgiving servant. And he says there, in verse 34, and his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers that he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. Now, Jesus there obviously was saying to the person who does not forgive others that that same person is not forgiven by God. Now, I want to be clear that the point is not that we earn God's forgiveness by forgiving others. That's not the point, okay? It's not saying you forgive others, that way you earn enough brownie points to be forgiven by God. It's not what it's saying, okay? But Jesus' point was that if we're not ready to forgive others, we've got good reason to question whether or not we have actually been forgiven by God. We've got good reason to question that if we're not ready to forgive others. Because you see, the whole point of this story is that it's crazy. It's crazy to have been forgiven $15 billion and then to get caught up on 20 grand. That's crazy. And what the Bible teaches is that where we really have been forgiven by God it's going to make a difference to our attitude to others. Okay, sometimes it's going to take work. Always it will be a painful process. I'm not denying that. It's going to be an effort. But for the Christian, where we think about what it is that God has forgiven us, we're not going to be able to hold on indefinitely to that attitude of unforgiveness toward others. And so you just need to realise that. And so, friends, if you're struggling with issues of unforgiveness here today, I just want to encourage you first and foremost to think through the debt that you owe to the Lord. Think that through. Okay, think through how greatly you've offended God. And then think about what that means for just how great and overwhelming his compassion has been in sending Jesus into the world for sinners like us. God's willing to forgive $15 billion debts for everyone who goes to the Lord, turning from their sin and trusting in Christ to save them. God will forgive. Doesn't matter how bad your sin's been. God will forgive. And so think about that if you're struggling with an issue of unforgiveness in your heart. Go to the Lord. Seek his forgiveness for your $15 billion debt. And then, having been forgiven, allow God's mercy to you to change the way that you relate to others who you need to forgive. Okay, I realise that's a really big topic. I realise we've only had 20, 25 minutes. So you might have questions, and I'm really happy to answer any questions that people have. Is there anything that anybody wants to ask? Ken.
The person who has offended you, you might be ready to sort of forgive them, but they don't acknowledge any wrongdoing. You can talk to us about that, how necessary or unnecessary it is to still go ahead and forgive them you are.
Yeah, okay. So, I think the really helpful part of the Bible here is Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, it talks about that. And basically what it says is never avenge somebody else. Okay? Never avenge somebody else. I'll read Romans 12, 18 to 21. It says, "Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath." And it's talking about God's wrath. "For vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink." And so what it's actually saying there is, if you've got somebody, they've done something wrong, but it's not talking about here somebody who's actually asked for forgiveness, but it is saying the most important thing here is, don't you in any way try to take vengeance on that person. Rather, realise that in the end there's somebody who is the judge of the world, and that person who is the judge of the world is God, and he's going to look after things in the end. So I think that very much there, it's about being ready to give that matter over to the Lord. And what I would say is that, and not to take any kind of actions against that person, what I would say is that for that to actually happen, for us to actually give that over to the Lord, it's going to feel very similar to forgiveness, even if it's not quite the same as forgiveness. It will feel very, very similar to forgiveness, because you've got to be ready to let go of it and to actually give it over to the Lord. Say, "God, this is up to you. It's not up to me." And actually show kindness to the person. Okay, it says, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Jesus says, bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who spitefully use you. So we're actually trying to positively do good to this person, in spite of the fact that they've treated us badly. And for us, that's going to feel very, very similar to forgiveness, even if, formally speaking, what we're doing is we're handing it to the Lord and saying, God, you're the judge in this circumstance. Does that? So I'm saying it feels very much... the way that some people talk about it is they say you should have an attitude of forgiveness. Whether you want to use that terminology or not, some people... But I think it will feel very similar to forgiveness, but I do think it's a slightly different thing because that person hasn't actually said sorry. But I think it's going to feel very, very similar to forgiveness, yeah. But really what you're doing is you're giving it to God. You're saying he's the judge. Yeah. Go, yep, no. Yep, go, yep.
What then do we say to someone who is not a Christian, then you can just treat them like that?
Yeah, look, I don't think that it means that you can't express when you're hurt and upset with someone. I mean, okay, we didn't read it, but the part just before this story that Jesus told is where Jesus is actually saying, if your brother sins against you, go and talk to him about it, and so on. And so it's right for us to go and talk with people, say, hey, this is wrong. And I don't think it's right to actually say to a person, look, we're not reconciled until this is worked out. I think that's right to say to a person. But what I'm saying is that ultimately in your own heart, you've got to be ready to give that thing over to God. And that's going to feel very similar to forgiveness. Yeah. Yep.
Remembering about someone that has someone here to you, you feel hurt.
Yep.
And, is that part of unforgiveness?
I think that forgiveness is an active thing. I don't think that forgiveness is a passive thing. So what I'd say is I think we're human beings and I think we feel, right? I don't think it's wrong to feel. But what I would say is that if I've forgiven this person, okay, or I've tried to leave this matter to the Lord, okay, if they haven't said anything, but I've tried to leave this, if I then, it comes back to me and I feel hurt, the question at that point is how am I going to respond to that feeling, okay? What am I going to do with that feeling at that point? And if I get that feeling and I go, right, now I'm going to brood on this and I'm going to think about it. I'm going to start getting angry. I'm going to ring up my friend. I'm going to talk about it with them. And I'm going to turning the cold shoulder and all of that kind. Then I think we've crossed over the line. But I don't think that initial feeling is wrong. I just think that initial feeling, the question is posed at that time, how am I going to deal with this? And I think, so the answer is, I think we go, okay, I've done lots that's wrong in my life, I'm a sinner, let's say they've said sorry, I have forgiven them, and you just work it through, or God's the judge, and I'm going to let, so it's just what you do with it at that time. Yep.
The difference between forgiveness and consequences, taking the consequences of your actions.
This is my first talk. Yeah, go on. Yep.
The way that, you know, I've been taught, I guess, in the past is that you can forgive a person, but there are still consequences that occur because of what they've done.
Yeah.
One example might be divorce, for example, when somebody's been unfaithful. And you have, it is still a possible outcome from unfaithfulness that divorce might eventually.
Yep.
And that's, but you can still forgive them.
Yep, yep, yep. Sorry.
That's one example, but there are so many. You know, in business, for example, there are consequences. cheating and
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And I mean, it's the same for somebody in a situation like mine. If I do something that's really, really wrong, people might forgive me, but it could still be such a breach of trust that it's no longer appropriate for me to keep on standing up the front every week. You know what I mean? So that could, people could forgive me, but it could be a consequence that I just don't stay in. And so in a similar situation, I think sometimes, yes, we might forgive a person, but there's often still consequences in our lives, even despite the fact that we've been forgiven. And I think, where we realise that we've done the wrong thing, we should be ready to accept those consequences humbly. Yeah. So I don't know if that's an answer, just to say I agree with you.
Yeah, great. After that, I'm just clarifying to see whether it was my understanding.
No, I don't think that forgiveness removes all consequences. I think that sometimes an action can be such a breach of trust that it can take a while to actually work up to that level of trust again, and we just need to work that through. Yeah. So one of the consequences might be that you realise if you've done something really wrong, okay, it's going to take me a while to try to earn this person's trust again, and that's just part of the consequence of what you did, even though they've forgiven you. Yeah.